Blog Talk Radio.
Beauty Shop for the Soul is a magnificent transformation to restore, cleanse, and tap into the essence of who you truly are. Beauty Shop for the Soul gives you the experience of a new makeover from inside out. Beauty Shop for the Soul was a universal gift to be birthed into the world to host Joanne Buckner. Joanne received this incredible gift through a meditation to share with others to awaken the soul. Beauty Shop for the Soul is a true magical process of the divine being you truly are. Now sit back, relax, and let Beauty Shop for the Soul take you on a new, exciting journey with host Joanne Buckner.
Welcome to Beauty Shop for the Soul. Now, so often I have opportunities to examine my soul, and that's what this program is really all about, the beautification of our own souls, and how do we get that except through the challenges and opportunities that are presented to us. The most recent one was just getting on this line this evening. On time. That was a bit of a challenge, but I'm here now, and you're there, and welcome. I'm glad to have you on the line, and today we want to just explore some aspect of our own soul and how we've chosen to use that in the process of our own unfolding. And, of course, all growth really is not about expansion as much as releasing and letting go of whatever no longer serves you. Because everything that you could or would have ever needed to know, say, do, or be is already known and said and done. It already is in the infinite mind of the universe. But sometimes it just gets covered over. And so, and of course, from the moment we take that first breath, and maybe sooner, we begin to forget who we really, really are. But who we really are is always there. It's always available. In the scriptures, it says that the kingdom of heaven is within you, meaning within each of us. And so what might that be? I would imagine that there's a difference in the understanding of that, even as it is for one person over a period of time. If you look back over a decade ago in your life, and you'll probably see areas of growth, which is to say that you're not the same person you were 10 years ago, and if you go back a second decade and so forth and so on, you'll see that there's growth, and so it wouldn't be a stretch of the imagination to know that for as long as we are in the earth realm, we'll always be expanding toward the infinite. One of my ministers used to say, God, the Creator, made man in its own image and likeness, and man has been trying to return the favor ever since. In other words, we are trying to contract or make smaller this infinite intelligence, this omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent power, but, of course, it's not ever going to happen. What does happen is that we're forever expanding our consciousness, not in the physical realm, but our consciousness, and as we do so, then transformation occurs that manifests itself physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, socially, and just all across all of the arenas and areas of our lives. So Beauty Shop for the Soul is one of many vehicles, and of course there are many. There are other ways that you can reach the same thing in the same way that if a number of us wanted to travel from Los Angeles to New York, somebody could go by plane, somebody could go by boat, someone on a motorbike, as one friend of mine did, all the way from the West Coast to the East Coast on a motorcycle, a female friend. You could go in many, many different ways, and yet the destination would be the same. And so it is in the evolution of our soul. There are many ways for us to achieve this. The thing is that, or are we moving or are we on a treadmill of life where we're just marking time in place, maybe just kicking your feet and legs up and down and putting them down in the same spot that you just had. Maybe that's a metaphor for the lives of some of us. But Beauty Shop for the Soul is a program that will facilitate one's ability to move forward in various arenas. The thing is that move where to? Well, first you have to know where you want to go. And some of us don't even know where we are. Therefore, we don't know, we don't recognize a movement in the direction of where we want to go because we first have to identify, acknowledge, and accept where we are. Sometimes we struggle against where we are, thinking that we should be further down the road, and of course that will keep us marching time in place, meaning discontented with where we are. So it's a lot, for whatever the reason, whatever seems to be the justification, just to have that resistance to it will keep us from moving forward. So beauty shop for the soul, you get to make an assessment of your head, i.e. your thinking, and you get to see, and how do you know how you're thinking? Of course, if you were to ask someone what they verbalize in response, is probably not going to be congruent with, if you look in the garden of your life, if they look in the gardens of their lives and see how weeded it is, how overgrown it is, with ideas and beliefs that have existed unchanged from early years of their lives, although they can't wear the same clothing, can't fit the same shoe, but they tend to want to redo sometimes fit the same philosophy down to us. It wasn't even our own in the beginning. But we've made it ours, and we've, you know, did a few nips and tucks so that it may not seem recognizable as having belonged to someone else. But through our exploration, we get to see just where did these ideas and beliefs come from, and even more, how is it serving you? How is it showing up in your life? When I think back to the time, the days when I was born, we won't go back to how many years that was, but it's been quite a while, and of course it's been a blessing to be here on the planet. But during the time that I was born, it was a common practice for parents to teach their children to respect the elders. The elders, these were the adults in our world, and they held a certain social status. Ironically, their mental and emotional and even some of their economic status did not always reflect the chronological age. Now, there's nothing really, really wrong with that except that these people are our role models and examples, and that's not to say all of them. But many of those that we were taught to respect, and you don't have to disrespect someone to disagree. So that's a life lesson as well. But often we get confused, especially at an early age, and associate disrespect with disagreement. That's not so. In fact, I see adults do it even today. And if you're involved in that kind of situation, have them call Beauty Shop for the Soul. We get to explore exactly what's working and what's not working in our lives by doing an assessment of how we see ourselves in the world. And, of course, how we see ourselves ultimately is how we see the world and see ourselves in the world. Other people unveiled, and many times what they see and what we think they see are not the same thing. And so we are taught to respect our elders, and in the meantime, we are charged with a responsibility as we get older to function at a certain capacity in the world, so we haven't been appropriately and properly trained for that. In many cases, of course, there are obviously people who do this by training and others who maybe seem to do it just by osmosis. But everything in the universe operates according to energy vibrational frequency, and this includes our thinking. So nowadays, and it was unheard of in my youth, but we have neuroscientists nowadays, and they tell us that measure the energy frequency in every single thing in creation. Many, many decades ago, people thought that rocks were inanimate. They didn't recognize that rocks and trees and sand and et cetera contained energy. But today, we know better. In fact, so it's true that the Creator just leaps in the rock, which means it's there, but you may not be able to recognize the vibrational frequency. And if you want to see a test, not test, but touch, and experience the energy in a tree, do a tree hug. And you'll see if you move from tree to tree that the vibrational frequency is different, just as the fingerprints of each one of us are different. Dr. David Hawkins is a man that wrote a bestseller book called Power versus Force. And in Power versus Force, David Hawkins talked about the hidden determinants of human behavior. And Dr. Hawkins uses a muscle testing technique to assess the level of consciousness of any individual. Maybe that would have been a good thing back in those days when we had people operating at various stages of consciousness that we were put under their care and under their custody. Maybe that's a technique that we actually use to determine, is this someone I want to teach my child? Is this someone I want to set with my child, as in babysitting? You know that in Dr. Hawkins' work, he created what he calls a map of consciousness. And through this kinesiology or muscle testing, person were not physically present, he could determine their level of consciousness, and the range was from as low as 200 up to, I think it was 1,000. And so naturally, those people at the level of 200, those are people who are intensely out of alignment, I'll say is the nicest way, with truth, your true essence, and et cetera. And those are people that we probably don't want to interact with, at least not on a regular basis, unless you may be one of those professionals who is there for a purpose, and that is to facilitate someone else's process of unfolding and growth. But anyway, Dr. Hawkins constructed this map, and it's something that can use to see where you are at those moments of unrest, those moments when you don't feel connected, whether it's in a relationship, and maybe the relationship is not with a person. Maybe it's with your health. Perhaps it's with your finances. Perhaps you have been one like I was at many times, at some time ago, thinking that I had no creative ability. Well, all of us have it. Many of us never find it. In fact, it has been said that the graveyard is the richest place on earth. And why would they say that? That's because so many people go there without ever having discovered the pearl of great price, which resides in each and every one of us. And so I think about, when I think this way, Walt Disney of Disney World, Disneyland first, was someone that he had been told by one of his high school teachers, she informed him that he had no imagination, and she suggested or advised him to get a regular job, one that would match his mundane thinking or the process in which he used, or maybe not, I don't know, at that time, but that was the recommendation. Have you ever been counseled and advised by significant people in your life, especially during those years from birth to six, where you were told that you could or could not do anything? Another common practice here in this hemisphere, meaning in the U.S., is for minorities and females to be counseled to do menial jobs for lesser pay, even with a higher education. So if that's been the case, Beauty Shop for the Soul is where you get to explore who you really are and the limitless potential and infinite possibility for you to become all that was established for you to be before you even arrive on the planet. I think of as well, so with Walt Disney, despite the fact that he had been told that he had no imagination, he later created an imp upon imagination. He has paid employees, highly paid employees, who are called Imagineers. And these people are the creative and academic, not academic, perhaps that too, but creative and developmental arm of Disneyland. Their job is totally to use their imagination, hence Adventureland and Fantasyland and Wonderland and all of these other wonderful things. And one of the things that Disney did that has become known around the world is that he took stories. They were fairy tales that had gruesome endings, not one that people would be happy to have their children exposed to and be happy about. But he took those stories and he in every single story around and gave it a fairy tale ending. The ending was not so fairy tale-ish before Disney. This is the same process that you can use when something has happened in your life that has pulled you off center, out of the circuit or the flow of life. Not that someone else has pulled you, but by our naivety, you could say, sometimes we get pulled off center. But if you understand that and know that there is a way for you to realign yourself, then you could do it. I don't know exactly what Disney did, whether he was actually ever thrown off center by the teacher's comments or by others, but what is known is what he did do was use the power that was within him to create fantasies that people travel thousands of miles just to experience a fantasy created by either Walt Disney or the Imagineer. This is the same process that you can do with experiences in your early life. Now, that doesn't mean that you can change the past, but what you can do is change your feeling about the past. And that's a process that you get to explore and develop in Beauty Shop for the Soul. That would follow of where you are and where you want to be. And between that, in the interim, there has to be a purification process. The things that you have latched onto, wittingly or unwittingly, that suggest to you the impossibilities of achievement, that you're either too old or too young, too fat, too thin, not enough education, not enough money, whatever it is that has given you a no, the universe always says yes. And as for this Thomas Edison, I think it was Edison who said, think you can and you can, or think you cannot, either way, you will be right. Think you can or think you cannot, either way, you will be right. Say yes, learning to recognize that we're in a unified field of awareness that is everywhere present, and inherent in that is every single thing that any of us would need to know, say, do, or be in order to experience the greater yet to be. But it takes practice, and generally it takes someone else working with us. No man is an island. I think about Nelson Mandela, who became eventually the first black president of South Africa. But that was subsequent to 27 years in prison. 27 years in prison behind physical bars did not exist in the mind of Nelson Mandela. There's a wonderful tribute to him that was done by an 11-year-old child who is considered and called to be a mini poet. She actually did this a year before Mandela made his transition. The child's name is Basali, I believe, if I'm saying that correct. But anyway, in her winning presentation, she said about Mandela, they made him break rocks, thinking that they were breaking his spirit. Mind you, 27 years, Mandela was there, and for 27 years, not only was his spirit not broken, but it was strengthened and empowered. He was unable frequently to see his family, even to receive correspondences from them. I saw letters in the story of Mandela where they actually let these letters go through to him, but they had cut out many words on each line so that it would be pretty much impossible to tell what the content of the letter was about. And this was a way of taunting him, so they thought. But still, there were no bars in the mind of Nelson Mandela. And so this little poet describes him by saying they made him break rocks, thinking that they were breaking his spirit. However, instead of breaking his spirit, she said, news is always better from the horse's mouth. The horse in this case would be Mandela. And she quotes him again as saying, freedom is an idea that I want to live for, but if need be, freedom is an idea that I am prepared to die for. And so he was sentenced to isolation in a very small cell. And hard labor was his daily bread. And Mandela, in breaking those rocks, when they, the system, thought that they were breaking his spirit, little did they know or understand that they were actually training him to break barriers, barriers of inequality, breaking barriers of oppression, breaking barriers of discrimination. And all of this from behind prison bars, bars that were physically there, but mentally, emotionally, psychologically did not exist for Mandela. He also even learned to speak their language from one of them, by the way, as well as when they opened those prison doors after 27 years, physical body, Mandela had also learned forgiveness. And so he forgave them who had incarcerated him and imprisoned him for 7 years. You might say Mandela's consciousness went from the pit to the palace as he went on to become, from that little tiny cell, the president, the first black president of South Africa. So I ask you, have you ever been thrown into a pit of despair? We're talking mentally, emotionally, physically. It doesn't matter what the feel like it, the pit, then as Edison said, if you think so, then yes, yes it is. And so if you've been forced into a pit and thought that you were imprisoned, if you've been isolated, as many people are, from their family, friends, and loved ones, whatever it is that keeps you bound, then there are techniques that you can apply. Mandela did it. Walt Disney did it. I don't know about the bars, as I said, for him, but he certainly used his imagination, and the universe is no respecter of people. And so in this kingdom of heaven consciousness, anything and everything that any of us would need to know, say, do, or be is available to us when we turn away from the thought of lack, limitation, separation, negation, and whatever it is that we have accepted and made it our story. And we began then to tell that story ad nauseum, over and over and over. But as Mandela walked out the prison doors, what happened in this incarceration was these people that thought that they were breaking his spirit were teaching him to break these barriers, as I mentioned before. And so you can break barriers by understanding that the whole universe operates according to law. This is not man-made laws where you run a red light and you are stopped by an official, an officer of the law, and given a ticket that you have to pay a dollar amount as a penalty. No, we're talking about when you infringe upon the freedom of your soul's expression, there's a consequence to that. There's a penalty for that, and that penalty is you are limited from expressing your own and imagine that you were created from a divine substance that is magnetic. So as you begin to recognize and realize that that really, really is who you are or what you are, and you get to make who you are, who you might become, from that recognition, from that realization, and that willingness to do the work, to weed the garden of your life and reseed it with the seeds of truth. And truth is infinite and eternal. We're not talking with T-R-U-E, true. We're talking capital T-R-U-T-H. And so, by the way, for those who may not have been on this line before, Munich Shop for the Soul, as I've mentioned briefly, program of transformation that is very similar to the traditional beauty shop process. It's the same process that you will go through in the transformation of your circumstances and conditions. So when I look at my own life, and all of us have an opportunity to do that, despite the fact that much of our time is spent looking around us at other people and many times wanting other people to change so that we can be comfortable remaining the same. Well, I woke up this morning, and before I go into that, let me invite you, anyone that would like to share an experience of feeling physically, mentally, emotionally incarcerated and would like to open those doors, those mental or spiritual doors that you yourself have closed. Push number one on your phone, and we can talk about this. You can share a comment. Certainly there will be others that will be interested in hearing what you have to say, whether they're on the line today or they call in at another time and listen through the archives. There's always a reason, as it says in Ecclesiastes, for every single thing. There's a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And in that season, it may be that someone has come into your life to assist you chose before you even arrived. And then the other side of that is perhaps you have been brought into the life of someone or some others that you may be the teacher in this case to facilitate their transition and transformation from a consciousness of lack and limitation and separation into the fullness of life, into the experience and expression of infinite possibilities and limitless potential. So I invite you not only to push number one, but to call your friends and have your friends call back. Have them call 646-200-4169, the same number you dialed, and let's have a party. Let's look at what's going on, as Marvin Gaye once sang, what's going on. And we just move through life without a clue of what's going on. And even when we think we have a clue, we don't know what's missing. I keep finding little pieces of a puzzle along the path of my life, even though I've had major pieces right before me. And sometimes it's taken a moment for me to recognize them. And then after they've been recognized, how do you effectively incorporate this when in the interim period there's been an accumulation of energy and thoughts that have been congealed, that must be dissolved, that must be revealed in order for you to get beyond that? And it's all possible because everything works according to universe. So in my particular case, I found it, or my situation, as you would say, in the birth order sequence of my family, a family of nine, I'm number five. What that means is that, exactly as it indicates, in the middle, four above me and four beneath me or behind me, you could say four older and four younger. Also in terms of gender, I have an older sister and a younger sister. I have three older brothers and three younger brothers, I should say, had, because some of them are no longer around physical, but they're always around in the atmosphere. And so I found myself in the middle. And as I look back over the decades of my life, I find that I've been in the middle many times, not just in my family, but in other issues of life. And what is the middle but a place of seeming comfort, a place that even though wonderful things happen to me and have happened to my children, my family, it's not a place of great risk. It's a place, in other words, nothing really, really bad ever happens, and that's a good thing. But what about the other side? Nothing really, really great and grand ever happens because it requires that you step out, that you step out from the crowd. And so I see that on a soul level. Now, that doesn't mean that I have not accomplished some things I have. And I had seen myself, this is one of the red herrings, you could say, as a cycle breaker. And I did do that. But still, there's always that was beyond my imagination. Because what was I doing with my imagination? Unlike Walt Disney, I was just trying to imagine. I can remember if I go back to my early childhood, I I had chosen, you could say, on a soul cellular level, an environment that was restrictive. And so I always, and it felt restrictive to me, and so my imagination was pretty much consumed in imagining what it would be like just to play with other kids who were my peers and who were my age. But that was very restrictive, and it didn't happen. My mother always seemed to feel that there were so many of us that we didn't need anybody else. And she didn't necessarily say those words, but occasionally it did come out of her mouth. The thing is this, the three females of us, we weren't close in age. So there were just boys all around us. So the boys had natural built-in companions that even if they were punished, they were still together. But my two female siblings, one was 8 years older and one was 11 years younger. And so I spent my life yearning to have a sister close to my age or a cousin or a female. And we didn't have any cousins around us at that time. And so I, even in a family of nine, I wrote a paper one time called An Only Child in a Family of Nine, because that's the way that it felt to me from time to time, just because the boys did everything together. And I was very active, and so there wasn't any indication that I was feeling what I was feeling because I was there leaping over things and jumping off the top of the shed and outrunning the boys and outjumping them and outriding them. I was very athletic and very tomboyish. And there was a lot of laughter in the house. But deep down, beneath all that, there was that sense of not being connected. And so I find little bits and pieces of this puzzle as I go through this journey that we call life, which is probably what has led me to Beauty Shop for the Soul. You know, there's an adage that says, we teach what we need to learn. And so it has been and still is a process of learning where those little pieces to recognize them as I see them. And so I woke up this morning. And when I woke up this morning, what I heard was, you've been fishing in the wrong pond. Fishing in the wrong pond. I don't even fish, literally. But as a child, of course, we lived here today, and we did all used to fish. But we only caught crawdads there. But this issue of fishing in the wrong pond obviously is a metaphor. You know, we are beyond whatever our physical being is. So I was talking to a friend today about a pond. Obviously, a pond is different than a lake or sea or an ocean. And by the way, a body of water is always indicative of consciousness. That's what it means. So first of all, there can be an expansion. If we're talking a pond, there's so much more greater areas for potential expansion in consciousness than what exists in the pond. And then what kind of fish would be in the pond? And what are you using to catch them? Are you just sitting there waiting on them? Well, when we were catching crawdads, all it took was a piece of fat meat on a string with a nail tied onto it. You'd drop it into the water and all these little crawdads would grab hold of this fat meat. And that was simple, and that was just a fun thing to do. And I did that for a while, but I noticed I never had any enthusiasm about fishing as an adult, and especially not like my brothers, my father. All of these guys love to go fishing and doing the manly things, whatever that is. But fishing is not just for men. The literal fishing, there are females in my family who also fish. I just happen not to be one of them. But if you remember the story where Jesus the Christ selects the apostles. The first two that he selected was Peter and his brother Andrew. They were fishermen. And what he said to them was, come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Now, what does that mean? That would be a situation not unlike Beauty Shop for the Soul, where we facilitate the process for someone to have an enhancement, an empowerment, an enrichment of their own soul, thereby create space. As Buddha said, you know, our thinking is the cause of our happiness and the condition for the happiness of every other person on the planet. That's back to the vibrational frequency. And likewise, our unhappiness or discontent is the result of our thinking our negative approach to life or to an issue in life. So if we're unhappy, we can look to the way we think, i.e. the way you use your head, your thinking process, and recognize that it is that which has caused your own unhappiness, not to say that someone else has not done something to you or against you, but it is our perception of what it is and how we either react or respond to what is happening to us. There have been so many, many issues of that. One of them, I've spoken to several people. I've mentioned before, I think even on this show, I'm sure I have, on this program, this wonderful, wonderful, marvelously radiant woman, Immaculate, Ibn Ibiza, who had the experience of losing almost her entire family. I say almost because there was a brother who was out of the country. She is from the country of Rwanda. And they had this horrific experience of a genocide in Rwanda. And families were killed by the entire family. And this is what happened to Immaculate, her mother, her father, her siblings, except the one who was out of the country, her grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, schoolmates. And what made it even more horrific is that the people who were perpetuating this atrocity were people that they had known for a lifetime. How tough is that? And so Immaculate had been sent by her family to a place of safety because who would know that this would result in a million people being killed in 90 days. And so Immaculate and seven other women, none of whom she knew, were hidden out in a, you could just say, a toilet. It was not a full bathroom, but it was so small that these eight ladies, who did not know each other before then, ended up in very intimate quarters, meaning the size of it, the only way that they could set was to set like chairs back on top of each other. And that's the way, and who would have known that 91 days would pass by? Can you imagine yourself sitting on somebody's lap, and then somebody sits on your lap, and somebody sits on their lap, until you have eight people or more? And this is day after day after day. They had very little to eat. They could only eat what was left over by the children in this family, because the head of the household, who happened to be one of the clansmen from the tribe of people that were perpetuating this genocide, who that he was a minister. But no one thought that this would go this far, and so at that point it would be too dangerous for him to purchase things outside of what he normally would purchase. And so imagine, and I won't go into the detail, I'll leave it to your imagination. These were all females in this place, and they were there for 3 months. Imagine the care and the needs of these women. They weren't able to flush the toilet. They could only go outside between 2 or 3 or so in the morning, and even then it was dangerous in case any of the military should happen to be observing them. Immaculate, whom I spoke to directly, said that when she went in, she weighed 115 pounds. And 91 days later, when she was released, she weighed 65 pounds. That she actually looked like a skeleton. Hair matted, infested with lice, all kinds of things. And how dare she be bold enough and brave enough and courageous enough to go in that condition to the U.S. Embassy and ask for a job? What does it take for you to go and look for a job without having any of those things happen? How long do you stay in the mirror and print and change clothes and all of these things that most of us do simply because we can? But here's somebody who did not have that option, who knew that she didn't have a family, who had a body that was significantly weakened by that time, who, by the way, taught herself English in a bathroom from a dictionary. All of these things were just to remind us and even encourage us of what we can do under unusual, if not to say bizarre, circumstances. We just never have an idea. Hopefully, you'll never need to go that far. But there is, in everyday life, the potential and possibility for transformation, for us to experience and express and demonstrate more of our true essence, that creativity, that is yearning to be expressed. You know, whatever gets repressed, just that can't even relate it to the issues at hand, just simply because we're not geared up in our thinking that way. And so I'm going to invite you again, push number one, and let's talk. Where have you found yourself incarcerated? Mentally, emotionally? Have you ever been physically incarcerated? I recently had an experience of doing a workshop at a federal prison for men. Naturally, the men were incarcerated. And these men have had an opportunity. I have no idea what the offenses were or how long any of them had been there, but what I saw was the evidence of souls unfolding. Of these men who presented their work, meaning as a result of the psychological and mental and spiritual work that they've been doing on themselves and with each other, they now have a built-in support group for this group that I was working with. And they had such wonderful, soul-stirring, creative writing. And what I noticed in every single situation was that every man had an issue with their father, which ultimately probably was a big contributing factor to their incarceration. But these men had done all of this work, and they are now not the same person that they were when they were incarcerated. In fact, they even mentioned that themselves, that they were not that same person. And so as I look back over that experience, of course, even though I was there as a facilitator for this group, and there are several psychologists that work with this group of men. And the interesting thing, you know, when the sun shines, if you're outside, you get the sunshine as much as anybody else. In the same way that the sun would not shine only on Mother Teresa and not Hitler, it shines on anything that's in that path. And that's exactly the way it is with love. Love will embrace anyone and anything, be it person or animal, that is in its path. I used to have a challenge with that. I remember when I say I had a challenge with it, death of a loved one, and this is decades ago, and someone making a comment that they understood simply because they had an animal that died, it felt offensive at that time. But I'm happy to say that I've had an awakening in that area over many years, and I see that, as I've just said, the way love is, it doesn't discriminate between a four-legged animal and a two-legged animal, or in fact, an animal that flies or swims or crawls. It does not matter what the movement is. Love is. It knows nothing else outside of itself. It is omnipresent. For love and God are coexistent and co-eternal. And wherever God is, which is everywhere present, in and through and around all things at all times, all the aspects of God are in totality, in entirety, wherever God is. And so you can, through that awareness that everything is love, if there's a challenging situation for you at any time, you can practice the presence by calling forth the love that exists in you, because the same love that is in you also resonates with every person that you meet, greet, need or come in contact with, and you get to speak your word just as the creator of all creation spoke a word, and creation showed, creation expressed itself, and then the creator said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. And what does that mean? It means that you have been endowed with this power, with this ability to create. In fact, you're always creating. You're always creating, wittingly or unwittingly. So why not do it wittingly? And why create, why continue to create what you don't want, the thing that you don't desire? Why continue doing that when just as easily you can create the desire? Now, you don't get to outline it. The creator doesn't need a consultation from a finite line, and it's already infinite, has always been and shall always be that unified field of awareness, but it is the pearl of great price. And what could that be? Well, I've come to understand that the rich man, as it was spoken in the scriptures, that sold everything for the pearl of great price, meaning sold everything, had to release anything and everything that blocked, hindered, or delayed the potential and possibility for the rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. That would be the thoughts, the beliefs, the ideas, the behaviors, the lifestyle. Anything operates in a higher realm of consciousness must be released and cleared in order to experience, to purchase, to have the pearl of great price. And the pearl of great price is our imagination. When we align our imagination with the infinite imagination of the universe, something beyond our ability to even know or describe, to even perceive it before we receive it. That's what's available to us. This is an ideal time. So I want to take you back before we have a few minutes before the program is over. Think about Walt Disney and the imagination that created an entire industry of Imagineers. That's actually their title. The word that was given to him as though it did not exist in him. Not only did it exist in him, but he has activated that in thousands of people around the world. And consequently, subsequent to that, we have all of these wonderful fantasies. And as we begin to fantasize about the potential and possibility for us to be and do and have anything that we want to be and do and have, it is already done. So I'm going to invite you in a few minutes to just be still and go. Just take a deep breath. Think about not only Disney, Nelson Mandela. Imagine he's standing behind prison bars, but he doesn't even see them. They don't exist in his head. And guess what? They don't have to exist in yours or in mine. Those were bars when I thought that I needed to have someone of the same gender and the same age range as I. And so it kept me from seeing the bigger picture as a little girl, while other little girls were dreaming of becoming doctors and lawyers and whatever else little girls dream about. I didn't have those. Never too late. You can have it now. I can have it now. And through our connection, I want to thank you for your presence. I'm actually working on me even as I work with others. And so I'm just going to invite you to just be still. We know that biochemically something happens on the inside of you when we become still. Now, all of these emotions that we've had before, you know, the word emotion is simply energy in motion. So the emotions that cause us dis-ease, if it happens often enough, then something else happens and it begins to manifest itself in other ways in our bodies and in our relationships. So breathe in and just release. Breathe in again. And this time we're going to release any energy that no longer serves you. Just let it go. Breathe in again. And imagine above you infinite energy, divine light, life and love. All the things in the kingdom of heaven are above you and within you and around you. And just release. And we're going to take one more breath. Breathe in. Just let go. When you think it's all gone, pull your tummy in some more. Just breathe out any energy that is not aligned with your true purpose. Now invite your imagination. Imagine it's like an arm, a leg, a foot, finger, part of you that can never be excluded. It's always in operation. But you get to direct it. You get to clear the path for your imagination to bring forth into your life great and wonderful things. Radiant, vibrant health and wholeness. Breathe in. And release. Financial freedom. Breathe in. And release any resistance to unlimited abundance, prosperity, multiple streams of income. Just let it roll. See yourself in your radiance, radiating light and life and love. See yourself moving easily and effortlessly. And that you are a magnet for something wonderful and marvelous and magnificent to be downloaded into your life energy. And so we're just going to allow you to absorb this energy. It's yours. Let it take shape and form. Then just be mindful of any colors and sounds, any information and inspiration that you receive in this moment. And remember that you too can be a Mandela. You don't have to become president of a country, but you can move from the pit to the palace. You may not create adventure, but you can experience a greater tomorrow. And so I say to you, be blessed today, tomorrow, and always.
Thank you for listening to Beauty Shop for the Soul with host Joanne Buckner here on Earth Angels Radio. For more information on Joanne, please visit earthangelsradio.com. You can also contact Joanne by email at ourbeautifulsouls@gmail.com or call her at 702-622-4937. What better way to transform than a day at the beauty shop? Beauty Shop for the Souls.